live, and I'm pretty sure these boots will never properly dry out. Fucking sand.
The boots were made for walking, not wading.
It's the Vocal Minority podcast.
The song said so. Like, I mean, you know.
Does Adidas make galoshes?
Raise your voice.
There's a market.
God. The Adidas galoshes would be fire.
I would. Predator galoshes. Let's just work on this. Let's just plan this out. Think about it. Copa galoshes? That even Copa sounds at like the Copa. Something.
Copa galoshes.
Like I wonder if they would be studded. That would be cool.
Oh my God. That would be, yes. I imagine they would, which is hilarious.
Oh my God. Traction and how do you say that word? Help me. Impermeable.
No, I'll ask you struggle.
John, I'm going to stop now. Waterproof.
Okay. Oh.
Oh no. We're not even like 2 minutes in and there's words I can't say. Like, this is horrible. All right. I'm going to do the introduction now. Welcome to Monday. Welcome to Monday after a time change. Fuck you. Time changes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Vocal Minority Podcast, the podcast that is oddly glad that not everything is sunshine and roses because we're not built for all this positivity.
No.
What is happening? On this week's show, we look back at Toronto's hot start to the season. Who are these guys? Review the Gold Cup and Canada's last match. Aww. Get giddy about the Voyageurs Cup. We got dates, people. Look ahead to a match and a half and more. Now to this week's panel, full of surprises. Basking on a beach. Duncan won't be joining us today.
I hope he
remembered the sunscreen.
Better.
He's pretty flammable.
Yeah, he is. I mean, I understand personally.
Yes. Yes. Actually, yes. You know, that's true. We're a podcast of fairly flammable people, aren't we? We're all very pale.
Crispy skin podcast.
It's our KFC fan podcast.
Gross.
Okay, our fried chicken fan podcast.
Yay.
Chicken and waffles. Oh, it's our chicken and waffles podcast. There we go.
Well, the way we waffle on subjects.
See, it's perfect. It was made for us. Certain that CONCACAF rigged things against Dree. Say hello to Mark Hinckley.
I mean, they probably look. It's the whole thing is sus. I mean,
they have a weather machine.
It's just so sus. I think they're just trying to get us back for the Atikugbe snow pile dive. It's like, okay, now we're gonna get some footage of you doing something embarrassing, Canada. It's go for it. Most of it takes place in the boardroom, but go for it. Get us on the pitch too.
In shock over both Spurs and TFC winning on the same weekend, Tony is resting and won't be with us today.
Lies.
I mean, it rarely happens. It is true. Like, if one team wins, the other one is fucked. That's just generally the way it goes.
That is tradition.
And so it is, this is a rare, rare circumstance. So I'm going to enjoy it. And now today's special guest, former president of Red River Rising, Voyageurs board member, and women's soccer fan extraordinaire. She knows so much. NWSL queen here. Welcome to our very special guest, Nikki Cote.
Thank you for having me. And I appreciate that you didn't say expert because I'm full of passion and full of lots of crazy shit takes. But tactical expert, that's not me. But I'm happy to offer you some advice on that anyway.
Awesome.
Love it. And I want, like, please, crazy shit takes. Fuck yes.
Yeah. You've already fit right in. Jeez.
Yeah, exactly. It's like,
sorry,
you've
Tony,
always been
you've
here.
Been replaced. New Tony's better.
Yes.
Or as we call him now, old Nikki.
Old man Walsh. As for me, I'm sad that I miss being at the match in person, but I was happy that I predicted a win. What? I am your host, Kristen Knowles. Now to our show. All right, first up, it is what's been happening, and we are going to open with the W Gold Cup. It feels awkward to say it that way, but until people get used to the fact that there are two of them, I will qualify the Gold Cup, unlike I refuse to do it with the World Cup anymore. Mm-hmm. Or Euros. everyone, or Champions League. Everyone can just fucking figure shit out. But first, women's Gold Cup in CONCACAF, proper Gold Cup, not whatever that old tournament was, ended for Canada on Sunday night. I hope you all watched, though, even though it was rage-inducing to watch it, especially through the first half. And then soul-crunching, soul-destroying to watch the very end. However, in between all of that, they managed to eke out some decent football, score a goal against the U.S. from open play for the first time in, what was it, 15 years?
It was very exciting.
Wow.
That was actually, yeah, that might still be my favorite moment, that and Quinn's penalty take.
Yeah.
You know, like, what a pro. Not that Adriana's wasn't wonderful, Mark. It was beautiful. It was a lovely penalty.
Penalty point one.
Penalty point one, yes.
Same means, okay? Same means. Okay.
Yes. But yeah, so they ended up losing to their biggest rival in a match that should have been rescheduled or at the very least delayed. But since they'd already moved the match to make sure that the West Coast was able to watch and attend, I guess, they weren't going to push it back, and heaven forfend they reschedule it to, you know, reasonable playing conditions. I'm sorry, when someone kicks the ball and it, when an American attacker is literally in on net and the puddle at the top of the box plays defense by literally stopping the ball in its tracks so that the player runs past the ball unknowingly because the ball was meant to keep going and it didn't. That should have been an indicator that this game.
I mean, it, very naive of me knowing CONCACAF. I mean, I feel somewhat foolish, but I was actually convinced for the first 10 minutes or so, surely they're going to call this off. Surely this game is not going to continue. I don't know why I would have thought that. I suppose I should have known better.
No, but I felt the same way, Nikki.
Yeah. And, you know, I tweeted out during the game that it was painful, which it was. Like, you couldn't look, they couldn't get two passes together. But then I was stressed and, like, sincerely stressed. Like, I felt stress in my stomach. And it was twofold. The biggest part of it was I was really, really, really afraid somebody was going to get hurt, to the point where there were times where I found I wasn't even looking at the screen because I was like, I can't look. This is going to be bad.
That's fair.
And then I was also stressed that we were going to have some ludicrous error because of the conditions and concede, which we did.
Yeah.
That first half especially was like very hard for me. I can't, not the rest of the country, just me.
No, I can't find a single person. And that includes American soccer fans. Yeah. Like I was live tweeting it, but also chatting with one of the American Outlaws chapter presidents during the match, and we were both sort of like retweeting out and tweeting out the same things, that surely they have to call this game. This is dangerous. Players are going to, like, exactly what you said, players are going to get hurt. The quality, like, there is no football. It's not football. Yeah. It's not what they're doing out there. And that if this was the men, there's no fucking way that would have happened.
Yeah, especially in a semifinal of a tournament.
Yeah, like a group stage match. Crazy games
happen down in the Caribbean on a qualifier or whatever, but
on a rainy Tuesday night. But
yeah, I don't buy it either.
At Snapdragon Stadium, which is supposed to be one of the best stadiums, blah 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 blah. I mean, it's a great name.
It's so old. It's practically a year and 6 months old.
It might surprise the both of you to know that I'm not a stadium design expert.
What?
But I absolutely would have expected a stadium of that age to have better drainage. Like,
right?
You know what? I'm gonna take that one step further, Nikki. Any drainage? Judging by the puddles, I don't like. Did they just seal it like five levels of waterproofing underneath because, you know, that's what you need. Like, that was
what's the commercial with the guy with the paint on the clear paints over, like he cuts a hole out of his fucking canoe and like
yes
those yeah, guys like I feel like that. They feel yes
and, I actually googled during the game how much rain do they get in San Diego because I was like did they just not plan for rain because they don't get any like it was bizarre.
It was rainy as fuck.
I know. That's what I discovered.
So like the whole thing and it's tough because we want to talk about the game, right? Because like once Canada adjusted and that was an issue in the first half other than the insanity of playing in that weather and in the puddles. Like again, if you have not watched, please just go watch some highlights. Mm-hmm. You will be gobsmacked that a match was actually held. And I don't want to hear about, oh no, we used to play like that in our Sunday leagues all the time. Yeah, that's your Sunday league. Yeah. Shut the fuck up. Like I played soccer a lot too. You know, I've played in the mud. I've played in the rain. It sucked. And that was when I was young and doing that sort of thing seemed fun. No, it's not. Shut up. Go back to your armchair. No, that was dangerous and not good football and certainly not a good advertisement for the first Women's Gold Cup. You idiots. Yeah. But go ahead.
Oh, it put us into a weird situation where any other game, if they're kicking the ball like down the field and chasing, I'm going to be so frustrated and mad. And in this game, they just didn't seem to figure that out in the first half, whereas the Americans did. So
exactly.
I'm yelling at the screen, kick it down the field. Like, it was so bizarre.
So I've never yelled off it so many times at my TV.
Yeah.
It's hard to be frustrated at football players for trying to play football when for so many years also we had teams that didn't seem to know how to do anything other than hoof and chase, you know, like to see them try to hold true to what they know now and what they liked and what they're capable of was endearing, but really frustrating.
Yeah.
Come on. So the second half was better. Although again, at the start of the second half, it was like, oh fuck, more rain. Here we go. But it stopped. A breeze seemed to have come through. They did manage to squeegee off some water during the half. The half was delayed. The second half was delayed. This is my favorite thing ever. Why was the second half delayed, Kristen? Well, that's because the refs' mic packs were waterlogged and wouldn't work. Oh, really? You say. And so they had to struggle to get new mic packs for the refereeing crew before the second half could start.
Yeah.
But hey, this was a great game to play. So second half was better. You saw better adjustment to the conditions. As we mentioned, Jordan Huitema with Canada's first goal from open play against the U.S. And again, I think it's like 15 years or 16 years. It's a long freaking time. I want to highlight Jordan Huitema, actually, because I talk about her a lot on this show and how delighted I am that, one, that she scored goals in this tournament.
Yeah.
And was actively trying to score goals in this tournament. But that her return to North America and to a playing environment that is going to give her minutes and support, what a difference.
Yeah. I know. I will say I wasn't unfrustrated with Huitema at times during the tournament, but that goal, wow. Like, that made up for a lot with me. Incredible.
Yeah, it was a hell of a blast.
Well, and although I do think it's kind of like, who is it? Is it Gilles or is it Vien? Who's the other one who's all headers?
Gilles scores a lot of headers.
So Huitema like only scores headers.
Yeah. Except like, that one like, little accidental toe poke earlier in the tournament.
I know, yeah, I know, which was nice. So it was, I was like, ooh, a different body part. which is fine because Canada needs, you know, set pieces, goals, mm-hmm. anything that directed at someone's head, fantastic. Let's make this happen. And that was like that whole thing was delightful. But Adriana's penalty. Her first one.
Yeah.
Brilliant. That
was, yeah, so good. And it's funny because, I mean, that game was going so late, although apologies for calling it late because I realized it was later for you. But but I've always been like 9 p.m. is sort of past my bedtime. And that's not because I'm old. I am old, but I've always been that way. Even when I was young, I was ready to go to bed at 9. So staying awake, I was troubling, and as it kind of neared towards midnight, I found myself I had inadvertently nodded off. But then when the penalty was awarded, I was awoken from Adam Jenkins' exuberance, and so that kind of just like jolted me up. And then I was like,
yep.
But from asleep, I'm like, oh shoot, what's happening here? Oh my god, this is amazing. But so nervous for her, but she just fired it in.
And what I want, like what I want, and it was interesting to see, like, because, you know, obviously we got to see her take two penalties on that night, and her, you know, her one for kicks after added extra time, you could tell
uh-huh.
that she was just, and I agreed with the commentators that she should not have shot first, because she still had so much adrenaline coursing through her from the previous penalty shot, which she managed to do. And I thought was brilliantly done. Like, you know, they focus on the player. You could see her center herself and calm herself down with the breaths. And she was focused and she was calm that first one. That second one, you could just see it vibrating off her skin. And that was a bad choice. But
I know.
No,
I
was,
just seeing her face, and like, actually before I saw her face, like, you just knew it was a bad idea for her to immediately take it. So I was like, no, they didn't listen to me, and they went ahead and did it. And I have to wonder if all the options must have been playing through in her head. She had no time to think about it. I feel like taking that shot she did was, she must have decided in her head she was going to go different to mess her up, but that did not end well.
Now, with all of that, she won the Golden Boot.
Yep.
She didn't score the prescribed.
I know she didn't, but she got 6 goals.
Yeah,
in the tournament.
But it should have been like 21. I think that's how, like, 1 + 2.
I think
plus
that's
three
how it mathed
5.
Out for you, Mark. I think you're right.
Because I mean, she was for a couple games, she was on pace. Mm-hmm. So yes. You know, little still nice assists. Yeah, we covered that last episode. But
anyway, yeah, so funny. That match again, and it's really hard to it. We were talking about this last week, saying how, you know, one, how disappointing it was that Canada had to play Costa Rica back to back, and that CONCACAF sort your shit out. And we're going to talk more about the format stuff and everything a little bit later on in the show. But that we were excited, you know, okay, so now we get to play, you know, a team closer to our caliber, basically a better team-ish. But, you know, like, Canada came back, tied that up, you know, gutted that out, took it to penalties in adverse conditions, while blooding some newer players, getting them significant minutes, and like, welcome to the stage, Olivia Smith. What a debut. Like, what a real debut. Like, mm-hmm. she's played, but come on.
Yeah.
Simi Awuzo, like, and like after losing Nichelle Prince, which was like, oh shit. And then Jade.
Yeah.
You know, like some significant losses, right? So, but to have these players step up, and to have them have that kind of performance against their biggest rival, against a team that, yes, they still failed to beat here, but that one really could have gone either way if not for some poorly taken penalties. And penalties suck.
Yeah.
And Nair was on one on Sunday night. Like, I can't, I really want to dislike her so much.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's always fun when she steps up to take a penalty of her own. It's funny because watching the game with my husband, who's, you know, not a soccer fan. So he was like, what? The keeper's taking
it? Oh, unaware. Yeah.
No, she does this. Yeah, this, she does this. And she puts them in. So just get ready for that. Wow.
Yeah. And she, and but she just, like, she had, but she also had a great match. Like, Kaylin Sheridan did as well. I would have, I it's funny, I actually, I don't know who it was, someone on the commentary team, you know, said that, you know, keepers should take kicks. It shouldn't be a last resort. Like, if you're going to stop them, you should be good at them too. So you should be up there. And Nair's a prime example of that. Like, she's got all, she always takes kicks.
Yeah. Wow. You know, and, you know, I was very nervous heading into that game. You know, obviously we didn't know what was coming with the weather, but we hadn't been tested. Like, we had the easiest group in the tournament. So they were going to be the first, like, team in our, like, range of ranking that we would play. And having watched them play in their quarterfinal, I just thought, oh no, like, they're coming together. They've got it figured out, and we're missing some key players. And I was very nervous.
Yeah.
Hard to take, for sure, in the first half. Like, you can't take too much away from what anybody was doing out there. But the second half, like, you're right. They were putting, you know, passes together. They were like, I think we were the better team on the pitch. And
I agree.
I didn't expect it. And, like, yeah, we technically came away with a loss, but it's not one I feel overly bad about, at least in terms of what it means for us. I think I take way more positives of what it means for us as a team out of that. And also, you know, it doesn't, in FIFA's ranking terms, it doesn't go down as a loss. It's a draw. So,
yeah.
I wasn't super excited to see us play Brazil one more time and then go against the Oscars. So, you know, in the end, I feel pretty good about it all.
Well, especially because, like, the final, which I, you know, I guess we can talk about it. We don't have to talk about it. I didn't watch very much of it. I admit I was feeling petulant, and I was like, I don't want to watch you play another game, to the Americans.
I did not watch it at all. Cause the Oscars are a big deal for me. I'm very competitive.
I know they are. Oh, I know they are. I was getting your messages. She's like, I have to put snacks. No, I have preparations to make. You guys figure this stuff out on your own.
I would have, like, made a different choice, but yeah.
Choices were made. You didn't have to make one. The viewing gods smiled upon you. It's all good. but, like, you know, it was 1-0, and it looks like it was a grinder of a match. And I think I would have been curious, just because Canada played Brazil a lot in the last couple of years, and I feel like they would have had a better handle on them. But you know, what could have been, what would have been. Ultimately, they escaped with few injuries from this tournament, which is good. I think we got to see cohesiveness from this side. We got to see goals. And yes, they were against easier opponents, but they got two goals against the U.S. Like, one's a penalty, but they got that goal. You know, like this is, again, they took them to the limit. And, like, I agree with you, Nikki, that yes, it's disappointing and curious to, you know, we can play the what if they'd adjusted earlier game all we want, but they didn't drop their heads. They figured it out. They came back. And I think that over the last couple years, and also coming out of that terrible World Cup performance. God, one of these times they'll figure that out. This is really important for the XNT to see this kind of steel within. That they continue to reform and come back and build upon the stuff they've done. Also, you know what? It was nice to see Sabrina D'Angelo early in the tournament.
Yeah, I like seeing her back and getting some games. I have always been a big D'Angelo fan. So.
Oh, huge. Not that we're not fans of Kaylin Sheridan, because impossible not to be. Yeah. She's hilarious.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think overall to have come first in the tournament, to go into these, you know, the rest of the tournament, like they were undefeated. They scored a bunch of goals, and they should have scored the goals. And that's the thing. Yeah. We talked about this before, that they don't always play down to their opponents. They don't score the goals they should have. This time they did. So I think overall, like, job well done. Like, I am not upset about their performance in this tournament at all. And I think if CONCACAF weren't such jerks, it would have been different.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, the only thing I take away is kind of bummed about is that we didn't really get a good Olympics test out of that tournament. But thankfully, we should play at least a couple of good teams next month, and she believes. So it's not all lost. But yeah, it would have been nice to get a proper game against the US.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, don't get me started on the stupid new She Believes format. God, it's dumb. Well, we'll talk about it next month. Maybe we'll bring you back for that, because sorry, Mark knows. Every time it comes up, I just get rage filled because it's so stupid.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. And they keep finding new bottoms to scrape towards. It's incredible. So I get it. I totally get it.
Anyway. So just before we move on from Canada at the Gold Cup, like I said, we mentioned Olivia Smith, revelatory tournament from her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, fully announced herself, and you know, what was it, young player of the tournament. Like, she got she got a well-deserved young player award, massively deserved for her overall performance, but also coming on as a sub and then start, like, just 19.
Yeah, like that game against Paraguay, like, obviously I knew she was a good player, but she came right on, and like, I was just like, whoa, like,
I know,
here, like, wow.
Who are you and where? What? Yeah, I know. I was like, wait, I know you're doing well for your club, but what? Yeah. So delightful. And then, we can always talk about Chloe Lacasse because we love her. Mm-hmm. That first game, especially, what a performance. And love to see how consistent she continues to be for the XNT. Mm-hmm. But I really want to highlight Quinn, mm-hmm. who won 100th cap for them.
I know. Wow. I can't. Amazing. Like, I mean, I guess that's the old in me. I can't believe, but of course it has time passes and that's what happens.
I know. Like, I think about sort of like when they were younger, and I was like, oh my God. Yeah. They were like a little teenager out there. Yeah. Like the shy. I remember my dad's always been a big fan of theirs. And just like if I wasn't home, like if we weren't watching matches together, I would get a text. Oh, did you see Quinny out there? He's always been calling them Quinny. Just such a fan. It's hilarious. So 100th cap, and you know, came on, you know, like as a sub in that match, in that semifinal, which was a surprise. They didn't start. That was a sort of an unexpected move by Bev, but I think having their, and it's so funny, I wrote this in my notes, I was like, are they the savvy vet other than Jesse now? Like, Quinn is that steadying force.
And
you see it, right. You see it out there. And also, again, their penalty, what a professional take that was.
I know, I hope
actually, I was like, I'm sorry, did Quinn just do that?
Really? Quinn's like giving like teammate tutorials on how to
just. No kidding.
Absolutely. So yeah, I, you know, we're big fans of theirs, and if I ever get around to getting a name on a kit, it will probably be theirs. Just because massive lifelong fan of theirs, and just love their continued success. So, and I think they had a really good tournament too. Again, like their performances are usually quieter, right? Because of the position they play. But when they came on in that second half, in the semifinal, I had like made a note to myself. I was like, wow, they're everywhere tonight. Yeah. Like just really keeping things like flowing. I was really impressed.
Yeah, me too. Very, very good tournament. Good game. Amazing.
Anybody, either of you, want to particularly highlight?
I think you covered it with Olivia Smith. That was kind of my...
Yeah. That she was top of my list. It's true.
Yeah, like it's... and I keep going back to like, I feel like if anything, this is more of a an endorsement for the Portuguese league rather than... You know, we're discovering players that are just on the fringe, and I don't know how. I'll be honest with you, I'm not keeping track of who's abroad where. I don't have that kind of time. That's why I follow a Twitter account. But if there are other Canadians in that system, like maybe now's the time to go. Hey, you free for a camp? You know, like just see how they're coming along, because clearly they are taking near finished products and turning them into finished products, which is what this program needs. So
yeah. I think for me, like, I think you hit on, you know, a lot of the key players I would flag. The only other thing that really stood out for me is just, especially in some of those early games, the connection between Lacasse and Leon was really awesome. So I'm liking seeing them work together more. So
yeah, that's a really good point. And also, you know, even though they didn't make it to the final, and again, we'll talk about this in a little bit, but no third place game, CONCACAF. Fuck you. this was, you know, this is five matches of preparation. They'll have whatever matches they get in the She Believes Cup. There's probably going to be at least one more friendly before the Olympics.
Yeah.
So, I like a good chonky tournament, right? Like give us a proper group stage, give us the games. Like this is what you need in a proper tournament. Mm-hmm. She Believes Cup. Sorry, I'm never going to let it go. It makes me so angry. It's so stupid. But to have that time as a squad to play together. And this is what CONCACAF as a region has needed.
And I feel much better about us heading into the Olympics. Clearly, we're having a lot more preparation than we did for the World Cup last summer.
100%. Yes. Yes. So much better. Absolutely. All right. Well, let's move on. Toronto FC.
Heard of them.
Like, what is happening?
They fired Herdman yet?
I got bad news for you, Mark.
He didn't get the 4 points I was looking for. it really is my favorite joke right now.
I know.
Falling for his head as he keeps winning. The best.
It's like, I'm sorry, but they did what? They won. They won. And they won well. And they won without Sean Johnson. Like, I was terrified when I saw that 11. When I saw that not only was Sean Johnson not playing, but that he wasn't even on the bench, I was like, okay, remember Luca Gavarin had some good games last season? He had some good games. He was good. You know, like, be calm. That one save? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Kristen, we had Hamilton's finest next great goalkeeper. In net.
I know.
Full disclosure, I only found out during the broadcast that he was from Hamilton. I did not pay attention to his background, but now he is one of my favorite players on the planet, as is tradition.
This is true. This is
this is my jam. There's very
this is 100%.
There are players from Hamilton originally that I'm not a fan of.
No, but this one.
Well, we know, and but this is the case where he hasn't done anything to annoy me yet. So bless this kid, and yeah, we were fine. Everything was great. I don't know what you're worried about.
So I this mean, game,
proposal
I, like,
scored.
I, again.
Proposal scored for me. Things are good. Okay, sorry. Continue.
But like. Like I again, I predicted a win for this match. I did not predict a clean sheet for this because I didn't think even thinking Sean Johnson was starting because they were playing Charlotte, who, while not streets ahead of Toronto last season, were definitely a better team because, well, again, everybody was better than Toronto last season. But it wasn't hard. But to see the control that, for the most part, was a little worried when Long had to come out and it took Rosted like 15 goddamn minutes to remember how to play without like trying to get red carded immediately and do stupid shit. Like I was so frustrated with him, but then he settled down and he did some good things and it was all right. It's fine. He hadn't played in a really long time, so it's okay. But to play that controlled, and it's not to say the game was perfect. It wasn't, but yeah. They won. They kept a clean sheet. Insigne scored that insane goal. So it's like, what? And also, like, stupid Charlotte defenders. Yeah. What are you thinking? What? Like, yeah. Thank you for the gift.
Did y'all not watch the last game?
Yeah.
Same thing.
Like, you know, this time no cheeky chip, but exact same position, basically. And you gave him time and space. What is wrong with you? But, and this is... You know, and yes, you've seen this a bazillion times on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. You've seen different angles from it. There's that one video that's from the fan perspective, from the side. What did Insigne do after he scored that goal? No, did he go celebrate with his teammates? No, he fucking
did the robot,
bulleted it to the sideline and like attacked John Herdman. Like I thought they were going down, you know, but. When you see a player go to celebrate immediately with their coach, and you see this in football, but you see this when the player feels like they need to thank their coach.
Yeah.
That this is so meaningful for the coach player connection that they were the first person the player thought of was, I need to celebrate this with my coach. You would not have seen that last year. There's not a chance in hell.
Can you imagine?
Oh God, yeah. One, I feel like Bob Bradley would have punched him if he tried to hug him. Imagine?
Like I just am trying to visualize it. It, yeah.
I just don't see it at all. But Herdman, we all know what an emotional coach Herdman is, right? So this is his wheelhouse. And my dad had sent me something about that moment, and I was like, I said, this is what I keep telling you. I'm like. This is what Herdman does. Is he's like the personality whisperer. I can't explain it, but I've watched it happen for over a decade.
Yeah.
But and yes, it eventually wears off, but in the meantime.
Isn't this though his like I don't know if we've ever like outright gushed and praised about his tactics, but his ability to motivate is clear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like you could see what teams were like before he got there, and then when he was there, and then when he left.
Yeah,
like he has everybody typically playing like at least one or two gears higher than they normally get. So like this shouldn't be surprising, but at all it still becomes surprising with every time it happens.
But also, can we talk about the formation? Like, can I talk about how much I'm actually enjoying three at the back?
Can I talk about how I'm still traumatized by the fact that we had four and couldn't do shit?
I know. And he's got these guys just, you know, willy-nilly up and down the wings, three at the back, two of them center backs. Are you fucking kidding me? And it's working? I'm sorry. Who are you people? Where have you been? Like... we talk about how one player should not make that much of a difference for your club. But like when a team loses a player, like for a while, like I don't know, one of the times TFC lost either Josie or Michael Bradley or whatever, and like the team fell to fucking pieces. But I guess, like, I know, and I say this as someone who was a TFC supporter of Canadian national teams and a Spurs supporter, thinking about Spurs' current coach, and I'm like, huh. Sometimes it is the coach, and yeah, I don't know, but I know it's too early to celebrate entirely, but undefeated, 3 clean sheets. I'm gonna be happy about this, and this is why I tweeted out after the match. I was like, everyone, just fucking enjoy this for now.
Yeah,
keep your complaints to yourself.
Yeah. Like, even if, I mean, obviously, hopefully this continues, but even if it doesn't, this is just something in its own right to be really, really excited and happy about.
Oh my God. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I know the question is, oh, well, who else is going to score the goals? I don't know yet. Yeah. Does it matter right now? Does the fact that nobody else has scored a goal suddenly invalidate the fact that no one has beat them yet this season or scored on them? But does that matter?
Yes, it does, because these people still think Giovinco can do it. the thing that will always,
I love you,
will always break my brain about a certain section of Toronto FC supporters is that there somehow is like a win can somehow not be good enough. And it's crazy because this team has been historically dog shit. Like, I'm not talking about we've won something. Yeah, we won something. But if you take the entirety of the club's existence, the success is the blip, okay? The success is the oops. And it was sustained 4 to 5 seasons. Great. But look at the rest of those seasons.
Yeah.
Not so good. So, like, the fact that we, even after all this, you could still be like, well, it's only one person scoring a goal. Okay, so, again, 3 games, 2 goals scored, 7 points. If you can do math, that means with those 2 whole-ass goals, they won a game with each of them. Does it really fucking matter? Does it matter? This isn't like... like in rugby, I don't know if you guys are familiar with like rugby scores and how some of the leagues work. You do get an extra point if you score 4 or more tries, the touchdowns, because they wanted to encourage more tries because that was the thing that was more exciting to the fans. And it worked. You got more tries. Teams were more offensive. We don't have that bullshit. 1-0 is as good as the 20-0. The 20-0 is way more interesting to talk about, but you only get 3 points.
Yeah.
And I'm not in a position to be greedy to want more than 3 points, even though I've been jokingly say he needs to go because he didn't get 4. And he needs to go.
And I got to say, and I admit, like, I'm a sucker for a well-produced hype video, right? Or well-produced whatever, all for one moment. I you know, whatever. I like to have my heartstrings tugged. But I liked we're gonna talk about Herdman again. We're talking about Oso really briefly. So after the match, you know, they're doing the post-match, you know, group love huddle, you know, the thing that Herdman loves. And Oso was like, Herdman's like, no, it's your team. You give the speech. And Oso, you know, man, a few words, mostly sweary ones, which we love. One of the reasons best. We love him, you know, best just basically swears. Did that. And but I thought that was, again, that was a really telling moment. One, that is still a thing that they do. Everyone has to come together, you know, everyone comes together. Herdman changing the spotlight over to the captain, really important. But also I like Oso as captain. I enjoy the intensity of the directness of his very short captainy speeches. He doesn't say a lot, but he's just like, this. And this is just going to keep happening. Let's fuck. Like, I like, you know, we're big fans of Oso here. So this is, I do have one thing that, and so anyone who's listening who's a fan of Canadian soccer, either XNT or the MNT, both of which Herdman has coached. Some of you may be aware of a little Twitter account called Herdman Yelling. To this day, no one has admitted to being the person behind it. Squiz. He denies it. He denies it. I remember we were all at Shoeless after a Canada match once. There was like 10 or 12 of us around a table, and at least 8 of us could have been the person. We were all denying it. We were all waiting to see if there was a tweet. It was quite funny. I honestly don't know who was behind that account or who is behind that account. Someone could resurrect that, because once again, on the broadcast, through a good chunk of that match at a very loud BMO field, all you can hear is John Herdman yelling. And it is one of my joys of football, of watching a Herdman coached side, is the yelling. Also, really quick nod back to the Gold Cup. We need a Priestman yelling account.
Yeah.
Because she's not quiet.
I know you bring a good point about, you know, the great mystery of who was John Herdman yelling. And of course, we believe it's Squiz, but you know, anyone who knows me knows I love a good spreadsheet and I plan everything. And so, you know, this is going to reveal to everybody how like just dorky I am, but I have a spreadsheet to plan out how I will spend when I win the $40 million lottery. And
I love just, you so much.
It just occurred to me that I have to add a line in an item on there to pay an investigator. We can get this done when I win the lottery.
Yes. Oh my God. Everyone send lottery vibes to Nikki, because we need to know.
I will do lots of other really good things, you know, that are true, actually good things, not just that. But
look.
But seriously, it does drive me crazy.
The
Mark,
way
do you know?
The way I see it, Nikki, is that that's still charity. So you're doing good stuff.
Maddening. But anyways, Toronto undefeated on the season. 3 clean sheets. Bonkers. Yeah. Absolutely freaking bonkers. They've got 2 more home games this month. Although, again, apparently they can play on the road now. Who knew? We'll talk about their this weekend's match later on in the show. But currently sitting in 5th position in the East. And they're tied on points with the 4 teams ahead of them. And yes, so this is where the goals thing comes into play, because they've only scored 2 goals. If they'd scored more goals, they'd be higher up the table. That's it. But Miami doesn't have, yeah, really, Miami's got an extra game. So, because Miami already lost. So Montreal, whatever. Montreal, Columbus, and the energy drinks. They're all tied on points per game. They're all tied on points. It's just goals. They're even tied on goal differential. It's just goals 4. So, you know. But anyway, Toronto's in 5th place. If you said anything like that before the season started, you're a liar.
Yeah.
And I want to see the receipts. But welcome aboard, people. So we've got some things we want to talk about. Not that we haven't been talking about things. We're going to very quickly just mention, if you haven't seen this from Canada Soccer or from the Voyageurs account or from anybody that you follow on Twitter who may have retweeted this or is talking about this, the men's national team have a friendly coming up against the Netherlands.
Oh my God, at BMO?
Super exciting. Imagine.
Pardon me.
Oh, wait.
Men's national team, our men's national team, is going to play the Dutch in a friendly.
Is this a BC place?
Yeah.
for those of you who are new, I know the answer. I'm trying to build everybody's excitement up for don't know what the announcement actually is going to be, so that you're crushed a little. Sorry.
The last time the men's national team played the Dutch
at the Big O. All right, I'm out. Go. Sorry.
At Varsity Stadium
Holy shit, that doesn't even
30
exist.
30 years ago. This is the only other time they've ever played them, which is just wild. So this game is intended to be prep for an expected spot in this summer's Copa America, presuming they get past Trinidad and Tobago next week, which is something we will talk about briefly at the end of the show. So I love that they've gotten Canada friendly with a good opponent. Like
I'm shocked.
Seriously, right? What is happening? Who do we have blackmail material? Like, what happened in Amsterdam? And to have, I like the balls in this. Like, I like the confidence. They're like, yes, obviously we're going to win this. We need this as prep. Somehow we've managed to convince a top tier opponent to play us or to let us come play because they're playing in Rotterdam.
Sorry.
I should have mentioned that. Beginning of June, June 6th, Happy Father's Day, almost. And just to have to do that. Like I can't even wrap my head around it. This is great. This is really, really good news. But also, I do wonder, like, is John Herdman secretly being like, what the fuck, mate? Like,
now we do this?
Look, I'm still wondering when there's going to be a press release apologizing to Bulgaria that we can't be able to play them on June 7th. Because that's we usually get the tier 2.5-3s of Europe for a game, or my, which will always be my favorite, a game against Kazakhstan in the middle of nowhere in Austria. That's the thing I want. That says preparation is a neutral site game in front of no fans. This is amazing. This is so, like,
I know.
This is like getting invited to like the party.
Yeah.
You know.
It's just bonkers.
And it would be so much fun to be able to go to that game. That's not in the cards for me, but next best thing, it's a Thursday, which is a work from home day for me. So assuming we get a broadcast probably in the morning, I can do that. I can watch it.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I'm looking at my line of credit going, you know, isn't that what line of credits are for? I'm like, no, Kristen, no, they're not. But I want to convince myself that that's what it's for. I haven't been to the Netherlands in like 20 years. I would love to go back. It's been too long.
But if I win that go-go squeeze contest.
Okay, sweet. We're going. Anyway, fantastic. Well done by the CSA.
Absolutely.
For getting this.
Something not to yell at them about.
Exactly. And for getting, like, again, top tier opponent in what will be a good stadium in 2 weeks before what would be Canada's first match in Copa America, assuming they get past Trinidad and Tobago next week. So, like, the timing of it is lovely. Like, it's just boom, boom, boom. You know, feel the satisfying clack of the dominoes toppling against each other. Like, it's delightful. Okay, moving on to the XNT, really CONCACAF and the W Gold Cup, and some general thoughts about the tournament. Mostly the format, for me anyway, and that is, where the fuck was the fourth group?
Yeah.
You can, like, I don't understand. I admittedly didn't go digging too deep for whatever their, I'm sure, laughable answer was, because there are other teams of quality in CONCACAF in the women's game that should have been part of this and could have been part of this. And to have a, like, I'm just sorry, three groups. Really? Three groups. Go to hell. It really, it still... you're gonna do this, do it right. Like, what has what more does the women's game have to prove to get these things that are probably did the World Cup, the most recent World Cup, not prove that the quality is there, that the crowds are there, that the interest is there, that the support and so on and so on? Like, I just this tournament screams for four groups. It just does. Eventually more, but it screams for, or keep it at four, but it should be four groups. Yeah. Also, again, where was the third place match? I don't understand. People were, I was getting messages, like, and I serious messages from people going, did we miss when the third place match was? Or what's, like, I was like, no, there isn't one.
I know, I'm torn on that in the sense that I don't always love the third place match, but especially, like, you know, we really could have used a proper game after the.
Yes.
Yeah.
That, yeah. So yeah, in this case, it would have been nice.
I'm weirdly torn about the third game match, just like in principle, because it's kind of like, here's two teams that didn't make the final. And I know, like, getting a bronze medal is nice, and there's still something to play for. I feel like I can't believe I've said rugby twice in this podcast. The Rugby World Cup.
Welcome to our new rugby podcast.
Yeah, I don't follow the egg chasing all that much, to be fair. The third place winner of the Rugby World Cup automatically qualifies for the next World Cup. Like, there's stakes in it, yeah. Which is super, super interesting to me, because it's like, okay, you now. As a failed semifinalist, now you have still a reason to show up on the, you know, the Saturday before the final, because this game has meaning. This game will guarantee your spot in the next tournament. Now I realize the CONCACAF Gold Cup might not necessarily be the highest stakes to, you know, for Canada. Oh my God, they might not make the next Gold Cup. Like, you know what I mean, right? But there's something there. There's something to play for other than just kind of filling out a third place spot in a medal. So I think, though, after the calamity that was the semifinal, yeah, I think I would have liked a better finish to this. Like, who's to predict how dog shit drainage could be in San Diego? But, like, realistically, yeah. This needed one more, even if it was just a little more, like, they could have lost the third place match, but it would have felt a little more like, well, we can't blame this on the weather. We can't blame this on some external factors. Like, okay, here's a fair 11-on-11 under good weather. No bullshit. Just a palate. Like I said, the palate cleanser.
Yeah. There definitely is a, wait, that's it feeling here that is way amplified by the way that semifinal ended. It's too bad.
Yep. Yeah, I just think, yeah, I don't always love the third place match either, but I'm trying to think, I feel like in the men's gold cup, like, doesn't that third place, those rankings, like, they mean something for the next gold cup. Like, so, because they're, yeah. Or for the next CONCACAF tournament, like, there are seedings involved and stuff. And I'm sure maybe does by virtue of how Canada did in before that, like, I just, again, I feel like I need to go dive into the CONCACAF website, which always gives me a headache because it's awful. So anyone who's listening that knows more about this than I do and is better at paying attention to certain things that I don't think about until I'm podcasting, please message me, message us, put a comment on the website after we post the episode, because I would love clarification on this if somebody has, like, you know, solid info on this that can help me probably not be less angry, but at least understand it. And then because we keep talking about that semifinal, because how can you not? The absolute nightmare that was the finger pointing that went on about whose decision it was to go forward with the match. Oh, it was the refs. Oh, it was the officials. Oh, it was the players. I'm sorry.
That was the least plausible.
Since when do the players have a say in this? Go directly to hell. Come on.
And there's like no alternate reality where the players in that game say, yes, we want to keep playing this shit game.
At all. I just like own up to the fact that you force them to play. And like I was just reading something that's like you could see the ref and like CONCACAF officials conferring.
Yeah.
And like her looking upset and them being very adamant about something. And it was clearly about keeping the game going. But if you know what, just admit you fucked up. Like, and don't do this nonsense again. Like the backlash again is coming from everywhere. Like, I don't want to denounce all of CONCACAF and the entire tournament and all of the federations involved, but step up, people. Protect your players. Protect, God, I can't believe I'm about to say this, and these are giant air quotes, integrity of the game. Yeah, I'm embarrassed for myself. I'm sorry, you guys. But just, Jesus Lord, this is basic stuff. And again, if it was the men's game, wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
I believe that. It's strange that even after having a high profile, well, to this point anyway, a well executed inaugural Gold Cup tournament, that they can still be so, that they were being, I mean, being cheap was probably part of it, but neglectful. Like, you have insurance for shit like this, don't you?
Hopefully.
You can, like, and a dangerous surface would be cause for a decent insurance policy to kick in, such that we can get the stadium tomorrow. And also, you should have had that book. Like, to me, the lack of foresight, like, I feel like every tournament has these contingency plans already laid out in place. Why not this one?
Yeah.
And like 95% of the tournament, 99%, 100% of the tournaments never need that contingency place. But you can also go confidently forward because you have a plan B somewhere. This is sad. And it's embarrassing. And it's unfortunate. And I don't know if there were many injuries. I honestly have not seen any kind of injury report, but could have been, like, it could have been a disaster. Mm-hmm. Like, and that ball begins to weigh like twice the weight that it was when it started very quickly. So even like the things your body's used to kicking will hurt more or break easier or whatever, like the side effects of this pitch, this weather, these conditions. It's so cringy. Everything about it was so cringy. And it was doing so good. Like, the tournament was just so good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I know the thing that's most disappointing for me is, I'm going to be honest, like, when this tournament was announced, I wasn't super excited about it. I was just imagining, you know, a bunch of, like, I just didn't expect a lot of good games out of it. But we got a lot of good games, especially in some of the other groups. You know, our group wasn't that challenging, but you know, I was really impressed with, as things were playing out, and starting to get excited about the tournament. And then it just kind of just brings you back down to reality and go, okay, yeah, here we are. Like, it's just too bad that they had to sort of taint it in that way.
Yeah. So yeah, very hopeful that the outcry, the pushback from these parts of the tournament, that is enough to change things for the next one.
Yeah.
And because it's like, again, it's such an important tournament, because CONCACAF doesn't do enough, to give its region games, and meaningful qualification tournaments, the same things that it does for the men's side. And this, I think one of the reasons I am more upset is because I was like, finally, like, this really important step is being taken to, like, have a proper tournament and proper, like, treatment. And, you know, this is the first step for all of these great things. Right. And then, you know, to have these things that aren't just hiccups, but are clearly failures, just to have that was upsetting and really, to me, felt, yeah, like it's a bit lackluster. So yeah, like you said, it sort of brings it down a bit, and would like to see that change. And I really do hope that it does change, and quickly, you know, like that they look to the next one and fix this.
Yeah.
So,
and I would feel better about that being a possibility had they acknowledged that they messed that
up.
Like you said earlier, yeah. The fact that they didn't, I don't know. Hopefully, let's just, I guess all we can do is hope, I suppose, but.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about something that we're actually excited about. That's the Voyageurs Cup. Because we got official dates, people. Yeah. We talked about the matchups the other week, but now we know when everybody plays. And here we go. So, kicking it off on Tuesday, April 23rd. The Pony Boys are hosting Vancouver FC. That's Bruce Meadows. So they get, I think, oh no, I think everybody gets their own day. That's a big lie. A couple matches get their own day, and then everybody else seems to play on one day. Is it at least spread out so you can watch all the matches? No, it's not even that. Jesus Lord.
Why would both on
Canada Soccer? What the fuck? I didn't scroll down that far the list. I just foolishly assumed. No. Okay. So Calgary is hosting Vancouver on the 23rd. Toronto is hosting the Simcoe County Rovers on the 24th at BMO Field, 7:30. And then May 1st, happy May Day, everybody, where if you are a fan of Hamilton, like you've got to choose between two matches, because Hamilton's hosting the YU guys at the Donut Box at 7:00. But the Atleti are hosting Winnipeg at TD Place at 7:00. And then the late game, that's fine because it's on the West Coast. So the Aquamen are hosting the Victoria Highlanders, the battle for Victoria, at 10:00 Eastern. So, like, that's good. If you want to watch both, you probably have to, like, hoof it to a bar after the other match if you're going to one of them. But still, like, oh, that's so dumb. You couldn't put one of those games on the Tuesday?
Yeah, that's too bad.
And then Halifax hosts CS Saint-Laurent on Thursday, May 2nd, 6:00 Eastern. So, yeah, that May Day, that's dumb. Nikki, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Are you going to Ottawa?
I will probably not. I went to Ottawa at the end of the season last year, though. It was fun. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You did. I forgot about that.
It was one of Winnipeg's rare later season wins, so that was also fun. And of course it was fun spending time in the section, you know, Mateo's family, so many of them there, which nice. Now I guess Ottawa is going to get that benefit every game, but they're a great bunch. And yeah, it was fun. I would love to, but I've kind of allocated my spring away game travel to
NWSL.
NWSL, and I'm going to see Valor play Cavalry at the end of May. So those are my two.
Nice.
Wow. Okay.
So that should be fun. Those will be the only live, like in-person footy games I get to see until June, since Valor's redoing their turf. So we won't have any home games until June.
I know. I'm sorry. We've been there. Yeah. It sucks.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. It needs to be done. It just couldn't come at a worse time when they just really need to help rebuild some of the fan stuff. And yeah, being that starting the season that many on the road is not going to be great for that. But it is what it is.
Nah. So Mark and I'm assuming will be at the TFC Rovers match. Marcus,
yes,
I will try and change my shift for May 1st. But oh no, is he out of town? Hold on. I think my
I'm leaving all this by the way. Just like, so if you say anything about your, like, you know, the password on the door at work,
Okay, my coworker that I work with on Wednesdays, I think, is actually maybe out of town that week, and I might not be able to switch my shift, but I will try. I will try so that I can come to Hamilton.
Kristen, what if the store got COVID for a night? Just like, like book COVID has to be real at this point. And if not, let's make it real.
We'll try. Anyway, I'm assuming that these will all be on OneSoccer/Fubo. Although, or will these be on? No, these will be on OneSoccer/Fubo. I was going to say, will they be on TSN? No, don't be silly.
Why would
Don't be ridiculous. But anyway, at least we have dates now, so everyone can, you know, make some plans and stuff. And with a decent amount of lead time, more than a month away, so that is helpful. And just, yeah, it's just exciting to have, like, to have the dates and just to be able to be like, okay, we know when this is now, we can make some plans, and that is the good stuff. So I like that a great deal. Before we go to what's coming up, Nikki, anything Winnipeg, CanPL that you wanna talk about, you wanna lay on us, you wanna workshop, anything going on?
Well, you know, I was pretty vocal in the fall that I was canceling my season tickets, as did a bunch of people. Not because we were finished last. That's like, you know, teams win, teams lose. I'm not going to cancel my tickets just because we're at the bottom of the table. But there were just a lot of things that, you know, I don't feel like they were focusing on in the right ways. So I sent my cancellation in and said, you know, shared a bunch of things I would like to see change with the team, and said I would consider renewing in the spring based on how the offseason goes. So at the very top of my list, the most important, this is one I had discussed with Mark Noonan back when he made his tour shortly after becoming the commissioner. And like, I just flagged that Valor needs a senior staff member who is responsible only for Valor and can fight for Valor and fight for Valor resources. Cause right now, the way everything's set up, it's Bomber staff who have just had extra work added onto their plates. So, you know, I know the organization probably sees me as this super complainer, and like, the staff are great there. They have really good people, but it's too much, and they know where their focus is, right? So they're always going to put the Bomber stuff first. So anyway, I wanted to see this staff member hired. Valor announced maybe 6 weeks or so ago, a month, I'm not sure, I can't remember, but fairly recently they put the posting up on LinkedIn. They were hiring a manager of soccer operations. Oh. So like, that's huge. That, like, I was just kind of floored and excited because that was at the very top of what I wanted to see change. And then the second thing I wanted them to work on was giving Valor warm preseason training like all the other teams get to do, and playing opposition that's not CPL opposition. So Valor is going away to Portugal, I think on March 20th for 2 weeks of training, and they've got away games there. So there's all kinds of other things I'd like to see still worked on. But those two things, like for me, I felt like, okay, this, I have to support, these are big, this is huge. And so I'm going to renew. So I reached out to my rep that did the cancellation and said, hey, you know, these two things were really important to me. I'm glad they happened. For that reason, I want to renew, but I can't add the trench onto my account. So can you add it? And then I will pay and we'll be good. And I'll be a season ticket member again. That was 3 weeks ago tomorrow. And I've gotten no response. So I don't know, I guess, like, I don't know if that they just don't want, like, it might be personal or it got missed. I don't know. But at any rate, I went in and added myself a ticket in the family section. So my intention is if they ever respond, I'll ask them to move me to the trench. But if they don't, I suppose, like, I don't know, I can hang out in the family section and show the kids how it's done.
Pro.
No one's gotten back to you? That's crazy. No.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
The thing is, like, the ticket rep that I sent it to, like, I have to think something, somehow he missed it or something, because he's actually a really good guy and he cares a lot about Valor. So, like, I don't want to shit on him too much. Like, I don't want to shit on him at all. But at the same time, it feels, I don't know, it just feels like they don't want me there. And it already kind of felt like that last year, which was disheartening considering how much I've done to help build it and grow it and promote it. I know I've been a bit of a shithole the last year complaining a lot, but, you know, I've kept my feelings private for like 5 years. So, and been only positive. So anyway, I don't know. It does feel a little crappy.
I think you're somebody that they should be listening to, considering how much time and energy and money you've invested in not just the club, but in supporting the club and in promoting it and in bringing positive supporter culture and trying to work with the organization, work with the stadium. You know, I know Mark and I both know tons of people from supporter groups. We know a lot about what you all go through. Mm-hmm. And you know, like you and I as members of the Voyagers, like we do that, but you were doing it week in, week out, for, you know, our tiny little league, against an organization that doesn't always show its love for, you know, whatever the baby team that they own. So you're the people they're supposed to listen to. You know, anyone who's as passionate as you are and, you know, shows that passion week in, week out, they should be asking you questions. They should be bringing you in for drinks and, like, Nikki, tell us what you think kind of thing, as opposed to ignoring you for 3 weeks. No, I, you know, I know you, and I know you are not one to say anything until things are clearly coming to a head. So,
and I, like, you know, while I was the president of Red River Rising, like I met with them a bunch of times, shared, like, our members had put together after the first season, like, we pulled together like pages and pages of really good suggestions and things they could do to help build the community, because they really, really don't get the community aspect of it.
Right.
Which kind of blows my mind a bit, because they get it for the Bombers. Like, if you scroll through their Bombers Twitter account, like, they highlighted their community engagement person on International Women's Day because of all the really great things she does. And she has done some, like, they've done really, really good things to get, being in the community, get the community connected, activities like Northern Outreach, all kinds of really great stuff. But they don't do any of that for Valor. And it just blows my mind, because, like, the footy community is like it's expected. Like that's what draws people in, like supporting causes, being in the community, like, you know, it's, I just, anyway, we gave lots of feedback, but they just never did anything with it. And while I was president, I never said anything publicly negative. I mean, maybe a couple of frustrated posts in our Facebook group, but beyond that, everything was always positive.
I remember seeing things you posted, and you were always, you kept, you hewed to the, come on guys, like, remember what's the team that we're focused on. And we just, I was always really impressed by the fact that
Wasn't the president anymore, I was like, okay, this is my opportunity. I can, without impacting the relations between Red River Rising and Valor, I can now be a little more vocal about things that are frustrating. Yeah. But, you know, now I just feel like I wear this like Wendy Weiner complainer label now, which it's too bad. Like it's frustrating. When I go to the stadium, it's not exciting for me anymore. It's kind of sad, but when they made these two changes, it kind of started getting my excitement going again. So I don't know. I think I'm going to, it's an unfortunate mistake. I think, I don't think it's personal. Hopefully, I'm going to try and focus on that, but.
Okay. Well, here's hoping it gets sorted because,
That's, I mean, it's crazy how much power you have. the first two things you put in for and like, poof, they happen.
Yeah, well, to be fair, like other people shared that same feedback, so they probably got it a lot. I don't think they looked at my feedback and went, oh, shit, Nikki wants us to do this. We're doing it. Pretty sure that didn't happen, but
yeah,
but they listened, right? So that says like that's important.
100%. I'm not discounting it, but for the purposes of this, I mean, it was you. And you should really just take control of the club. Honestly, at this point, I would stop. You know what, Nikki, if you became president of Valor, I would immediately stop calling it the greatest of mice clubs in Camp Yale. Immediately. I would come up with a better nickname. I don't know what it would be, but it would be better.
Well, the funny thing is, you know, when I was talking through my $40 million lottery plan with my husband, and I was started talking about, okay, if I won this money, I'd put invested into like new ownership. Obviously I'd need more people involved. 40 million probably wouldn't cut it, but a Valor. And then he went, wait a minute, would you put it into Valor or would you bring a Project 8 team to Winnipeg? And then I went, oh shit. Yeah, no, I would bring a Project
8 team. There we go.
And then show them how it should be done.
Exactly. Okay. That's... sending more vibes Nikki's way. So
yeah, that okay. I feel like I hope there's room in that budget for a ground that isn't cavernous, but otherwise,
yeah.
Yes.
My Project 8 team would not be playing there. That's for sure.
Yeah. I think that's just prudent thinking. Tickets notwithstanding, I'm happy that at least the club that seems to just be in it to exist the most, like just to exist, we're just here because of deals, you know, are actually making motions to give an actual shit about on the field product and in the stand satisfaction. And it's not like, you know, I'm sure none of those things were like, oh yeah, and win the league. Like you're just like, can you outwardly project that you give a shit? And
yeah, you know, it's kind of a bare minimum. It's not a lot to ask, but yeah, I think it is really promising that they have, especially in my mind, this manager of soccer operations, as long as they hire somebody, hopefully they hire somebody with a soccer football background, not a gridiron football background, like somebody who understands the culture. That role has the potential to change a lot of the other things downstream on the list. So it is exciting. Like it's really positive.
No, actually, I didn't realize some of those things. So that's really great to know, because yeah, you need something like that for that side, for all of the sides within Camp Yell. But you know, Winnipeg has been a bit neglected, more than a bit neglected. So
it makes me a little sad too, like in the sense that I'm not a Winnipegger. I'm not from here. I just moved here right around the time when this league came. But what I found here was just a really, really, really passionate fan base of people who had their hearts absolutely broken when the Fury left. Yeah. And, you know, it was a little hard convincing some people to buy in because they didn't want to have their hearts broken again.
Yeah.
But a lot of people came on board, and like you saw it in the first season, you know, how full the stands were. And, you know, even the fact that given the results and, you know, the lack of care we sometimes see, the fact that they're getting 3,400 people to still come out, like that really says something about this community. Like, I'm so impressed by Winnipeggers as a community, and it wouldn't take a lot to bring those people back, but it will be some work because now they've had their hearts a little bit broken again, you know, not so much heartbroken. I think there's people that feel like the trust has been broken a bit. So
yeah,
there's work to be done, but it's a really, really great community here.
Well, I look forward to seeing them really have some success and really sort of, reconnect with their community and remake, bring back some of that trust and such. Too. So, well, we've got a couple little, we got a match to look forward to and a match to briefly talk about. So what's coming up? And that is, you know, we'll talk about the men's national team versus Trinidad and Tobago very briefly first. So we're going to do a proper preview next week because, well, the match is next week. But they play next Saturday, 5 p.m. Eastern in Frisco, Texas, against Trinidad and Tobago. This is their one-off qualifier to get to the Copa America tournament this summer. They should win this match. If they don't, there will be problems. But one of the things, because in true Vocal Minority Podcast fashion, whenever we do things, we're like, oh, you know, we're waiting for this information. Basically, once we podcast, then the information comes forth. So the roster drop is tomorrow morning, day after recording. So we're going to talk about the roster next week, along with the preview of the match. I'm not even going to speculate. Will Alfonso Davies and his missing two teeth be there as long as his other injuries are fine? Probably would be my guess. I don't know. Is Alistair Johnston fit again? No, he's not, right? He's still not playing, is he? He's probably playing and I don't know. So terrible men's national team fan am I. But anyway, we'll talk about it next week. But yes, big match for the men's national team next Saturday. Voyagers will be posting watch parties, shameless plug. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you should watch this one because it's a big deal.
It is.
But speaking of matches on Saturday, after, and see this, look at this is what happens when scheduling works in your favor as fans of more than one team. Toronto FC fans, you can watch the men's national team at 5 and then watch TFC at 7:30. Look how this works out for you. And if you're local, you can go to a bar nearby, watch the game, then go to the stadium. This all works out for you. Do it. They're not playing at home, so you can't go to the stadium because the stadium won't be showing. But you could just stay in the bar and give the bars lots of money. Or you can stay home and save your money, whatever. TFC, play the Pizza Rats this Saturday, 7:30 at historic Yankee Stadium, the stadium that Davy Houses built. No, I will never tire of that joke.
It's a good joke.
Pizza Rats off to a terrible start on the season. Mwah-ha-ha-ha-ha. They have lost every game they have played so far this season. And that just delights me because I don't like them. So any misfortune that befalls the Pizza Rats in a footballing way makes me happy. So yeah, they've lost every game. It's wonderful Yay. Stuff.
Right.
And sorry, I'm waiting for the conference standings to load, but MLS site is so full of annoying amounts of information. It takes forever. Let's see. Oh, they've scored a goal. Oh, so they've lost one at home, two on the road. Ah, so two of them are on the road, but still, TFC didn't lose on the road. Mm-hmm. I'm like building up TFC for a horrible fall on Saturday. I realize this as I'm talking. I'm so sorry, fans. Anyway, Toronto has had some pretty bonkers games against the Pizza Rats. There's usually a lot of goals involved. It's just what happens between these two clubs. Many, many goals. And they don't like it. It sometimes it's both teams score. Usually often it's one team scores a lot of goals. The last couple, like the Pizza Rats owned Toronto last year, but again, who didn't?
True.
I count that. That's an outlier. But they are all even on all-time record. So they've both won 9-7 draws. So there you go. I am expecting, at the very least, for TFC to get a point in this match. Although it will be interesting to see how Herdman adjusts his team to play on that stupid fucking pitch that should not be allowed. And I cannot believe that the Pizza Rats have gotten away with this for this many years. But it's MLS, and MLS makes all of their rules up on cocktail napkins.
Still in pencil.
It's so dumb. Before we do predictions, we do like to pick players to watch from the other team. Now, I realize I forgot to include this in the show notes, but I've put it in the chat for the both of you. If you'd like to check the chat, there's a link mm-hmm. there for you. Who's this Magneto person?
Magneto. What? Magno.
Magno, I know, but...
Tallest Mango. Tall's Mango.
Tall's Mango. The tallest Mango. He's the tallest Mango. Who is this person? Tylus. Tylus? Oh, Tylus Magno. From Brazil.
Oh, it is Tyler.
Oh, he's a young DP. Fun. Always feels like a rap name, you know. Oh, this is a young DP. And this is Lil DP. And this is...
Young DP and Lil Messi. Yeah. 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 I'm pretty sure that's an album somewhere.
Produced by Clint Dempsey.
It bloop, 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 bloop. Anyway.
Oh God, the nightmares.
That is still the best dollar I've ever spent on this show. Nikki, if you don't know what I'm talking about, I can send you a file. You'll hate me. You will absolutely hate me.
Yeah, you will block him after
we were cool, but then he sent me this shitty rap track and I can't stand him. Which would be fair because it's an abuse. It really is.
It's just awful. Now I don't think that. Actually, I think the Pizza Rats not have any ex TFC players right now.
Yeah, I've.
That's I'm wild. Now, like,
I'm now on my fifth pass of this list.
Yeah, I know. I'm scrolling back up from the bottom again. I'm like, wow. So this is rare because, you know, Toronto just disperses. Oh, actually, sorry. Really, really brief switch away. Ralph Priso rescued from Colorado by the Whitecaps.
Hey, fantastic.
Yeah. Just like literally like 2 hours ago.
Wow, breaking news.
Yeah. So Ralph Priso from the Colorado Rapids in return for a first and third round MLS super draft pick and up to 150K in GAM. I don't know why the up to, but there you go.
A pants piece? Maybe?
Yeah, maybe. Good point.
So I'm sure everybody who listens to this podcast has already yelled out the correct answer Thomas Romero, ex-TFC goalkeeper, played a whole six games last year. Remember him? The El Salvadorian national team keeper.
Yes, Cesar Romero, as my dad liked to call him.
Yes, but yeah, the only ex-TFC player that I can find. But anyway, boring.
Well done. No, well spotted. I totally missed that in all of the scrolling.
It's not nearly as fun as some of the other names we've seen in the past. No, so it's just like, yeah, but he wasn't here long enough to really make. He literally jumped on a sinking ship. Like,
yeah,
like that's, I have no fond or general memories of the guy. So
I've got a couple fond memories of him. I thought he was actually pretty decent, but anyway. So I always have to select, even though I have to select A. Martinez, because I am old and A. Martinez was on Santa Barbara. I can't not make that joke.
Oh my God.
almost none of our listeners. I don't know what our demographic hits, the soap fans and soccer fans that are Gen X wouldn't even know what I'm fucking talking about.
We've had enough rando crossovers that anything is possible. And I only and as soon as you said Santa Barbara, his face popped into my head, not because I love soaps. No, because I had a mom and still have one, but I had one who watched it.
Exactly.
So,
yeah, I didn't even watch Santa Barbara, but his face popped into my head as well when you said it. I think mostly from the Soap Opera Digest in the Superstore or in the lineup at the grocery store. But, yep. Yeah.
100%.
Like, and he's still in stuff. He's in stuff all the time. But yeah, like that was his big thing. Like, I remember, yeah, because my mom, same thing, my mom had like the afternoon of soaps. Like, she hurt her back one year, so she was like literally on the couch for like 2 months kind of thing. Damn. So she had she did Days of Our Lives, Another World, Santa Barbara. We were not a General Hospital. Why in our house? These were the ones. Occasionally Search for Tomorrow. Yes, this is all burned in my brain. But I remember when Santa Barbara started. I remember this. This is terrible, but A. Martinez. So it's Alonso Martinez from Costa Rica. But no, he's A. Martinez as far as I'm concerned. He hasn't played yet, but he's still one of my players to watch.
What a tangent. Spectacular.
You're welcome. It's one of my better ones, actually.
I put it in the show notes. So there you go.
Nice.
I'm going to go with Justin Hack, mostly because once I read the pronunciation guide, not that I need to learn how to pronounce the words Justin or Hack, but it's like Justin Hack. Like, it's like some kind of terrible, like some B-movie hatchet man or something. No. I don't know. I just, and also if you go to MLS soccer with all the profiles, his hair is fabulous. Like, he's got really fantastic near endorsement caliber head of hair. Like, just it's magazine good, Justin. So
Wielden, they should chat. They could do like a cross league shampoo commercial.
It's Wielden's is better, but this is He'll grow into Wielden hair.
He'll grow into it. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Nikki, anybody catching your eye? It doesn't have to be a good player. You can just do what we do and look for fun names.
I might have to pass on picking a player only because since CPL, I haven't focused much on MLS outside of TFC. So, like, every single name on this list is completely meaningless to me, which I'm
I don't recognize most of these names. I'm literally just looking for comedy. So my next one then, and this will be my last one, is Mr. Freeze. It's Matt Freeze. But if you go to, yes, his profile page, for the pronunciation, they've capitalized Freeze. Matt Freeze. Like, I'm just like,
that's a comic book profile right there.
Like, it's perfect. So yeah,
near the bottom there's a Jay Shore, and I know it's not, his first name is not Jersey, It is, because I'm not going to mouse over to find out. So
amazing.
Yeah, there's amazing. It's not the most fertile comedy name team.
No, it's not. We've had better, but there's a couple good ones here. All right. So well, then
we'll score an own goal. Maybe can we call an own goal from Freeze? He's going to freeze up and it's going to bounce off his head into his own net.
There you go. You're already renaming players. It's like you've been with us forever.
Tony's the best.
Let's move on to some predictions then. What score are you predicting for this match, my fellow panelists?
That's tough. I'm going to go 1-1.
Whoa.
Fair.
I'm going to go cuckoo bananas, and I'm predicting 1-0 Toronto. I know, right?
Ooh.
Completely uncharacteristic.
I like it.
And, did we ever cover what Charlotte's excuse as to why they might have lost the game? Because I'm waiting to hear what New York's is going to be when they lose. Because we had like, we just got back from Jamaica for a game, and our flight was delayed from Cincinnati. Like, no, I don't care. I want all the excuses. I want to know what New York's excuse is going to be when they lose.
Yes.
Or at least get a draw. We'll get an excuse, given that they're floating dead adrift themselves. So,
all right, let's see here. So they haven't won yet this season. They've already lost at home. They only scored one goal. TFC's only scored two. I think I'm with Marcus on this one. I'm going to go 1-0 Toronto. That feels oddly okay to say that, not like I'm being a crazy person.
Mm-hmm. And how many yards out will Insigne score this time?
From the third baseline.
Nice. Foul territory.
Anyway, there'll probably be more goals in it than that, but again, New York isn't scoring much. TFC isn't scoring much. New York's conceding and Toronto hasn't conceded any. So yeah, this could be just a back and forth first goal wins kind of dealio. But anyway, it's actually not even on after the men's national team. That's what I was thinking. I had the wrong weekend. Next weekend, Toronto plays at home. So you can go in Liberty Village, watch the men's national team, and then you can walk over to the stadium. And that's why I was confused, because I had two things together. I apologize. But yes, so this week you can just watch from your couch or from your supporter bar or whatever makes you happy, because while it's on Apple, it's also on TSN. Yeah, yeah.
Nice. Proper play-by-play.
Exactly. And not a horrible the horrible Apple interface.
Yeah. Well, you guys missed last week because I did watch it on Apple. You missed the commentator who said everything else with his American accent, but consistently would say, "Burn the desky." And I was like, dude, no. What are you doing? He also referred to John Herdman as John Hardman. So I wasn't sure if that was like his account or.
Is it because of what's his name? Longstaff? Hardman and Longstaff? That's a comic book duo if I've ever heard one. But like, he's just really. I was genuinely hoping, though, Nikki, you were going to say he hit the G every time he said Insigne. I wanted that to be the answer. It's like, my God, are you new to this league?
That would be amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Yeah, anyways, Apple is, I know it's going to happen soon that I'm going to have to watch a match that way again this season, but I've managed to avoid it so far and I'm so happy. And this weekend will be no different. So there. All right. Well, on that defiant broadcast note, that is the end of our show this week. And oh boy, still a long one. Okay. Chatty people. Let me bring on chatty people. It works in our favor. Please join us next week as we recap a hopeful win by Toronto against the Pizza Rats. Actually preview the men's national team match versus Trinidad and Tobago. Take a look at the squad that Mauro Biello has selected. And whatever else exciting things are happening in the world of football. Hey, maybe all of CanPL will finally release their kits. We can talk about that. Mm-hmm. Who knows? It's taking... Anyway. I would like to thank these two fabulous people for joining me this evening. To be found out there on the Twitters. Thank you so much for coming on and joining us and participating in this nonsense. Nikki Cody could be found at... Nikki Cody. We'll put your tag in the show notes. If you don't already follow Nikki, you should.
You know what I'm talking honestly. About. You know what I'm talking to. You. Follow her.
Yeah, and you. Don't give me that look.
Right, so I like thanks so much for joining. Under-promise and over-deliver, so don't expect too much, and actually I don't even know that I can over-deliver. But anyway, if you want to follow me, follow at your own risk.
To be found out there on the Twitters at KitNerdMark with a K, not a Q, Mr. Mark Hinckley.
Thank you to everybody who continues to support our podcast via Patreon. We absolutely appreciate it. And to both Kristen and Nikki and everybody listening, I wish you all a beloved 3/11 day of recording. It is March 11th.
It is 3/11 day, and you agreed to record?
That means...
Oh, Marcus, I'm so sorry.
It's okay. Just give me
all
a good
3/11
reason
songs in the show notes.
Oh, that's exactly what happened. It's already done. That playlist. and thanks to Mike Whaley for pointing it out to me. If you like the NPR Tiny Desk series,
they did a tiny desk.
It guess when it dropped today.
Shut up! Please include that in the show notes.
Of them in a small office. It's wonderful. Essay looks like he is a 70-year-old man trying to recapture his 50, but he looks incredibly old, and I love him. But
that's amazing. I had no idea.
It's okay. And he once broke his hand punching Scott Stapp from Creed in the face.
All the more reason to love him.
Whole story, a whole thing.
That's
but anyway,
hilarious.
Yeah. Happy 3/11
Delightful.
Day,
delightful. Thank you for honoring us with your presence on this holiest of days for you, Marcus.
Thank you for bestowing everybody with this podcast on the holiest of days.
There you go. As for me, you can find me on the internet. Yes, the entire internet at KZ Knowles. I have been your host, Kristen Knowles. And until next week, Canada, get used to it.